conducted with Sally Elliott for the Purdue University Library's Oral History Program. It took place on Monday, December the 4th, at their home in West Lafayette. The interviewer is Catherine Marquis, the Oral History Library. Welcome. Can you tell us a little bit about your born early life and your siblings, education, some things like that?
Surely. I was born in Indianapolis at Methodist Hospital, but I grew up in a little town, Maywood, Indiana, which is now part of the city. Spent a wonderful childhood there. I had a brother, 12 years older than I am. My mother and father were both from Indiana, one from the southern part of the state, and one both were really from the southern part of the state. Went to grade school there, and then I went to Ben Davis High School. After I left Ben Davis, I had acquired an interest in physical education primarily, and went to Indiana University. But the first 2 years, I went to a school called the Normal College of the American Gymnastics Union, which is one of the oldest physical education training schools in the country, next to Sargent School of Boston. Had a very good background in all phases of athletics. Then I went to IU my junior and senior year. Enjoyed it all. Went on and got a master's degree at Indiana University. Graduated in 1957 with that. That's pretty much my formal education.
What did you major? What was your major in college?
My major was health education and physical education. Health and physical education.
Now, when you were in high school, were you in any particular clubs or organizations that you
were in? Well, of course, we had GAA, which
pretty active
was a forerunner to, you know, what they're doing now. Well, I was in the Key Club and Spanish Club.
When you were at IU, you lived on campus then? What was the campus like, and were there any professors that you recall that made an impact on you, or you keep in touch?
At least, a couple of. Probably the one professor that made an impact on my life was the woman who was director of the Normal College. Her name was Clara Hester. She kind of expected perfection and really demanded quite a bit from her students, and I think I learned a lot from her. And at IU, Cecilia Hendricks was a professor that I had. I took some drama courses and English courses. I had a minor in English there. She was just a wonderful person, and I learned a great deal from her outside of the classroom. She was a friend, and she happened to be John DeCamp's mother-in-law, which came about, you know, later. I knew about that after I came to Purdue and worked jointly with John in promotions.
Okay. Well, were there any particular clubs or organizations that, when you were at IU, that you participated in, you joined, or had any offices or anything like that?
Not really.
What was the campus like?
I think it's pretty much like it is today, except it's just larger today. Most of the sororities and fraternities are still where they were when I was there. I'm sure they've added some since then. It was a pleasant place to be.
Did you join a sorority? Do you remember?
Actually, I did not, but I am an Alpha Phi, and I became an Alpha Phi when I was working at Purdue back in 1958. They were going to colonize a sorority here. They needed women of faculty to sort of be, you know, hands-on with the sorority. So
sure.
I was initiated into the Alpha Phi sorority, which I enjoyed very much.
Good, very nice.
Al Stewart's wife was the president of this alumni group that we had.
Have you kept active in the alumni at IU? Do you over time, or?
Well, I'm a lifetime member of the Alumni Association at IU.
So you keep active then.
Right.
Right.
But I'm afraid my allegiance is to Purdue University, having worked for them for a long time.
Following college, what was your career path? What did you after
Well, after leaving IU, my first job was at the YWCA in Indianapolis, and I was an assistant director, sort of in charge of programming. Did that probably for about 2.5 years, and then had an opportunity to start teaching, which is what I really wanted to do. There wasn't, at the time I had applied, there weren't any jobs, but then the Indianapolis Public School was, they were kind enough to give me a position back in 1955. I worked at the YWCA from 54 through 55 and started teaching in the Indianapolis Public Schools at an elementary school, and was there through 55 and then, I'm sorry, through 58, and then just taught physical education K through 12, arranged the schedule of classes, assisted with the development of the annual district and regional city track meets, taught high school physical education and language arts, choreographed the musical dedication of the school, and was designated as a master teacher by the school system in 1958. That's pretty much what I did in Indianapolis, and then I left and came to Purdue.
Okay. That brings, I was going to turn our association to Purdue in connection with, you were named Director of Public Relations and Promotions for Women's Athletics in 75. Was about the time that, is that the time Carol Mertler came?
Yes.
So that's what I'm
before that, I don't know if you're interested in
oh, yes,
I did
please
before
do.
That.
Yeah, right.
But I came here and was an instructor in physical education from 58 until 1967.
You mean here at Purdue?
Here at Purdue. And taught physical education and primarily health education, which was my major. And I did this in the women's physical education program, and in conjunction with my job later at the recreational gymnasium, and I was coordinator of women's athletics at the rec gym. Started a guys and dolls program for the girls and guys, you know, to participate in
sure.
different aspects of sports. And I did that until 1967, and I left and went to the West Lafayette Community School System and wrote a health education curriculum, taught physical education and health, did all the usual things you do with the job, coached the cheerleading squad, and a lot of the girls started asking me why they couldn't have a athletic program, and I said, I don't know, let me find out. And principal and the superintendent were very, very supportive, so I started a girls' athletic program there and was the girls' sports director until 1975. And at that time, women's athletics was beginning to come to the forefront after Title IX, and it had impacted not only the schools, the high schools. I was very fortunate to coach the girls' track team there. We won three state championships, or two state championships, were runners-up twice. I ran the state track meet for a year. But then George King was a friend of mine who was the athletic director at the time, and he asked me if I'd be interested in coming to Purdue as the women's athletic director, and I said, I don't know. Well, he said he had really two positions he needed to fill, the athletic director and also director of promotions of public relations, which I felt might be a better fit for me since, you know, I was married and I knew the other job might require maybe more travel than I was interested in doing. So I was appointed Director of Women's Athletic Promotions and Public Relations in 1975, and Carol Mertler came on board as coordinator of women's activities at the same time. So we worked pretty much hand in hand in those early years.
What sort of things did you get? Did we get involved in and get the promotion program up and running? And
well, actually, I initiated the women's division of fundraising.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
We thought at that time it was better to have a separate organization
was going to ask about that.
Right. And just kind of expanded it all into a really full-blown fundraising organization. And I had to start somewhere, and I didn't really know exactly how to begin. But I started by getting about 10 or 12 of my really good friends in the community to serve on a board. We called it the Pretty Sportsman Board. And they were great in helping give us community, I guess, identification. And many of those women were already members of the John Perdue Club through their husbands. We did, some usual things when you start out. We had a couple of fashion shows. We had some.
You had to get the thing up.
Different types of fundraisers.
Right.
And then eventually we started the Schliemann Hubby. We called it the Jubilee in those days. And we had a big dinner at the Lafayette Country Club. This was an annual event. And we did that until my retirement.
You retired from Purdue? When did you retire?
I retired in 1988.
Oh, did you? Okay. Is that sports still going?
Well, Pretty Sportsman, when I left, was going to retire, George King said, well, is there anyone here that, what do you think should happen with this? And who do you think should take this over? And I said, well, you only have one woman on board that should take it over, and that's Nancy Cross. As far as the Sportsman Society, I think it should be merged with the John Perdue Club. Therefore, you don't duplicate many of the things and, you know, let the people that are members become a member of the John Perdue Club if they're not already associated with it. So that's sort of how, you know, there is no Sportsman Society as such anymore.
Right. Well, now, that was to raise funds for the school's athletic program. Is that correct?
Correct.
Is that what you were going to do? Okay. Scholarships and things like
right,
that.
Right, and that's what we did.
Uh-huh. So these are changes that occurred as a result of Title IX, that the women's program really took off. And yeah.
Right. We had the Sportswomen's Society all that time,
uh-huh.
But when I left, then it was merged, and so there was just one fundraising organization, and Nancy headed the entire, whole thing
mm-hmm.
at that point.
There was something else that I came across, the Women's Intercollegiate Sports Organization. That was in the Division of Recreational Sports,
mm-hmm.
and I guess it's now, I don't know whether part doesn't exist or if it's been merged in with the all athletic department.
All athletic department, but it was a forerunner for women's athletics, and they had a lot of, even before I became the women's coordinator at the rec gym,
yeah.
They had a lot of extramural clubs, they call them, and they participated probably on play days on weekends with other schools.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't really a full-blown intercollegiate athletic program, but there was some competition beyond the intramurals.
Right.
That
what were some of the things that the programs that you ran at the CORAC? I mean, were these we got some new ones going, and you were pretty involved in that.
Right.
You could elaborate a little bit.
I developed that one program called Guys and Dolls, and that was a co-educational program.
Sure.
I did a lot of hiring of students to man the different sports that we had, the rifle range, the archery range. You had to have people on board. Hired the swimming instructors and people that checked members in the door. I really enjoyed
it. It's kind of an active and pretty well involved with the university, too.
Yeah,
so you've got a lot of contact.
I enjoyed it very much, and we ran a lot of intramural programs and had to do the drawings on who competed with whom. So it was a very big program, and I assume they still have an intramural program. I know I'm familiar with the fraternity over there, and they still participate.
Sure, I think they probably do. And of course, they've expanded on the things that they have in the cohort, activity-wise as well as facility.
Right.
Did they have any fitness things going on at that?
Yes, I taught a fitness program.
Oh, okay.
And I started another group, it was called Staff Wives, and I had an interesting day a week. They'd come over in the morning and participate in, I guess an exercise program, we call it, and then we did some aquatics in the water, and we've been
knew some people in the community, too.
Right.
So kind of, you know, made it sort of nice. But,
right.
Yeah. But sir, Tyler and I really did make, certainly, and President Hanson made some changes, too, on the intercollegiate, didn't he, when he was here? Intercollegiate activities and sort of building up about the time that you were involved in the promotion.
Yes. Of course, when I came on board at Purdue, Fred Hovde was president.
Uh-huh.
And then when Arthur came, I think he's the one that really got most of it started as far as having the university support women's athletics. You know, they weren't really too interested in doing that, but they had to do it, like, you know, all institutions.
Well, how did they started with some and then they've expanded? Is that, I mean, so how did
Well,
they...
when we first started athletics at Purdue, I believe we had 7 sports.
For women, okay.
Just for women.
Right.
You know, but there were golf and tennis and swimming, basketball, volleyball, and track and field. And cross country was part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Field hockey was also a sport. I don't know how many I named there, but
sure.
There were 7, 8, or 9 sports.
But they competed with other schools?
Yes.
Did they?
Okay. Yes. When I have, as a matter of fact, Carol Mertler and I laughed. So when we, that first year, there were a lot of little schools that these intramural clubs, these extramural clubs had been competing against.
Sure.
And I remember we had no idea where they were. We got the college blue book out to find out what the address was. So we'd know how to get there.
Let alone their name.
Right.
But you were able to track them.
We did.
Yeah.
That was
a big challenge.
It was.
Yeah.
Huge challenge.
I imagine, and looking back on when you first got started, you said, boy, we got to get this thing up and running. And that really was a big thing. You really had to dig in. Of course,
we
had some experience before.
And that was Carol's charge. You know, she had to make the schedules. That was part of her responsibility.
Yeah.
But she said to me, you know where so-and-so is? Well, she was from Ohio, and she didn't know a lot of the schools in Indiana.
Unfortunately, you did.
So I did, so we worked that out. Okay.
That's good. I don't think they have field hockey anymore, do they?
They do not.
Yeah.
No, that was...
But the other ones that you mentioned, I think they do. And, of course, they have soccer. We didn't have soccer.
And they have softball.
They have softball. Those have been add-ons, I think.
That's true.
But looking back on the time that I've been, they have both the boys, men and women, softball. Yeah. Okay. I read an article that Joni Comstock said that women's participation is an important part of the improvement. She's talking about, you know, the women's program. Do you want to comment on that, or did you know Joni Comstock?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Joni came after I left, but we did become very good friends, and I was on several volunteer committees that she had.
Sure. She's in Asheville, I think.
Not anymore.
Oh.
She's assistant director of the NCAA. She's in Indianapolis.
Oh. So you keep in touch.
Yes.
Yes, that's nice.
That's great.
And then Carol Dewey, she was a former volleyball coach, and she said community is the key for the program. And she's referring to the women's athletic program. You probably knew her, too.
Oh, yes,
yeah.
Very well.
Yeah. Is she still around, or?
She's retired. I think she's living in Indianapolis. I saw her when she went into the Purdue Athletic Hall of Fame. That's the last time I've seen Carol, but, you know, I have no idea right
sure.
now what she's
okay.
doing.
Another thing I came across is there was a National Girls and Women's Sports Day, which was in 2002. How did that come about, and do they still have that? I guess it was at Purdue, or...
It
was in 2002, a National Girl and Women's Sports Day.
Well,
I'm not sure what... it was a little hazy in the article that I had seen.
It could have been through the physical education program.
That they may have had some sort of an event that had to do with that, because they seem to have quite a few of these athletic events and special things.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm at a loss to tell you what that
was. But that may have been a national thing. Now they're talking about graduation rates, and how has that changed over time?
Well, I think we always had very high graduation rates among the women and very high academics, which was one thing that, you know, kind of prided. We had a lot of pride in that, and I always talked to that point, you know, how the women's athletes were good students. And one
far as recruiting of any of the athletes, if you get to when they come on campus for visits or?
Well, interestingly so, Sharon Verso, who's now our women's basketball coach, when she came to campus, I met with her and talked with her, and then subsequently when she decided to come to Purdue and was Miss Basketball, State of Indiana, I remember bringing her in here, and we couldn't put a Purdue uniform on her, but I told her to bring her basketball uniform from the state, and we perched her on the Boilermaker Special. We took a lot of promotional pictures and wrote a lot of things about her.
Oh.
And I had the opportunity to write for actually the football program that went out every week, and I had a series of articles in every one of those. John DeCamp had me write those, and I wrote about each of the sports for women.
Just a football program that if they had games, or what football program are you referring to?
The football program, yes.
Oh.
The printed program.
Okay.
That
okay.
They
have.
Yes.
So you really had a lot, and you did, then you knew Johnny DeCamp, and you said, oh.
Very well.
Yeah.
I knew Johnny before, but when I actually shared an office with John, but after when I first went there, my office was in Mackey Arena, and Carol Mertler's office was in Lambert Fieldhouse. John and I were roommates, so to speak.
Office mates.
Yeah, he was very, very generous in teaching me a lot, interviewing and writing. And writing was my second love, so that came easy for me. But he really was helpful in a lot of, I always respect him for that, for helping.
On your sports, as you look back, what was some of the most challenging things that you faced when you were involved in the women's athletics program?
Well, I suppose in the beginning, the most challenging was trying to sell, and I use this term lovingly, good old boys, the fact that, we weren't going to destroy the program, because the feeling was, we were going to ruin the program that they'd worked for, particularly the John Purdue men. And I guess I had developed over the years a philosophy that, and I tried to relate this to the men that I came in contact with, that for every privilege that you're given, there's a responsibility, and that hopefully things will get better. And I think every time you're given a right, it's your duty to do a good job. And also try to tell them that my philosophy is for every tomorrow there was a yesterday, so you have to base the future and the present on perhaps what happened, but don't dwell in it, but take the good things from that and try to go forward. And I try to let them know that, we weren't going to do anything that would hurt. them a number of scholarships, and many of the coaches split those scholarships, and maybe we'd get half scholarships to maybe two women instead of one full ride in the beginning.
Uh-huh. That was a real challenge. And then, of course, trying to get the people within the state to, you know, get, as the program gets up and running, is to get the people to come, too, as well. So it's a combination, isn't it? It's part of the challenge.
I remember the first women's basketball game we had, I thought, well, I should get all these programs ready and get the people there to get the people in and have the programs for sale. And I think, you know, we had about 300 people, maybe.
This isn't Mackie, right?
Mackie, yeah.
It's okay. My response to that sometimes is, you know, I do a class for 1 or 1,000 or 100, doesn't make any difference. We go with it.
Yeah,
anyway,
and
yeah.
You try to do... tried to do a good job.
Yeah.
You know, I think everybody that was associated with the program did a good job.
Thanks.
And as I say, George was very good in letting me try different approaches.
Well, he respected you. You had a lot of experience in coming here, and you knew people.
I remember one time I went in and I said, would it be all right? And he said, look, he said, you run the program. And if I don't think you did something right, I'll let you know.
Right, okay. What has been your activity since you left Purdue? What have you been doing? What kinds of things? And how did you happen to decide to leave?
Well, I decided to leave primarily because my husband, Bill Combs, who was team physician and director of the hospital at that time for 40 years, decided to retire. And I thought, well, probably I should retire as well. I was only 55 at the time, and it was probably a little bit too soon, but just kind of played for a couple of years and then decided I needed to do something, and George said, well, we could probably find something for you to do around here, but I didn't really want to do that, so I became a realtor and then a broker, and I spent 10 years selling real estate in Lafayette for F.C. Tucker.
Okay.
And
but you kept in touch with athletics.
Oh, yes, you know.
Well, golf must be one of your specialties because now all of a sudden you're the local one head, right?
Well, I was president-elect last year for our Greater Lafayette Women's Golf Tournament.
Sure.
And I will be president this year.
Okay.
I play a lot of golf and belong to a couple of leagues here in Lafayette and one in Naples, Florida, where I live in the winter. I'd have to say golf is my love, but I'd say the thing that has always been most important to me and probably has kept me active and younger are my friends. And I think to have friends, you have to be a friend, and I try to be a good friend. And I have two really special groups of friends. One of them's contemporaries of mine and a bit older, and another group that are my younger golfing friends.
Sounds like a good match.
Yeah,
that sounds good. A couple things. You know, the transcript's going to be turned over to the archives. Any comment on preservation or archival that you'd like to share? Value of preservation?
I just think it's very important, you know, to know maybe what went on before and how the history of certain areas have developed. And, there are always people that need to do research, and they're always going to be training women in physical education and athletic training and business management and athletic trainers. I'm sure a lot of the assignments are to do research and find out what happened back then, what was treated. But I will say one thing that I think they'll find is Purdue really didn't duplicate any of their services. When women came on board, sports information took care of women, just like the men, the trainers, the medical staff. You know, there weren't separate this and separate that.
It was integrated.
Right. We had to have a little division in the beginning. out one special event. Perhaps one of them was when I was a recipient of the Black Coat Award at Purdue for promotion of women's athletics. That was fun.
Did you get any other, were there any other awards that you got? How did, what was the nature of that particular one that you got that you just mentioned? I'm not familiar with the title.
It was for outstanding contribution to women's athletics.
Oh, I'm not familiar with that one.
It's given each year at the Schliemann Hefty. And I'm glad to see that they're continuing the Schliemann Hefty.
Yes.
I guess I was also I was inducted into the women's athletic well into the AAUW I was the outstanding woman in sports in 1976, and that was kind of a highlight for me.
Did that come as a surprise to you?
How I was totally surprised. Yes.
How did you find out?
Well, I went to the dinner, and
the dinner was here or in
it was at. Yes, it was here.
Uh-huh.
And Carol Kars was a good friend of mine. She was the women's athletic director at the University of Illinois. And George King was there. And I thought, well, isn't this interesting, you know? Then I started putting two and two together while I was having dinner and thought perhaps it might be me.
Was the purpose of the dinner some sort of an award for something, or was just the dinner that you got?
No, it's an annual dinner.
Oh. Is this for the Schliemann?
No, it's for people in the Lafayette community.
Oh, okay.
They give,
what's the nature, who hosts the dinner, what's the name of the dinner? What's
well,
the
it's
event?
The AAU, it's now given probably, I'm ashamed to tell you, I'm not sure, but I'll find out. I'll research that. But it's a, sort of a big deal. You know, they always have a good speaker. And
It's been going on.
Is it at Purdue?
No.
No, it's a community event.
Oh, okay.
It's a Greater Lafayette community event.
Okay.
You know, they give an outstanding homemaker, woman in sports.
Oh, the Purdue women, I think I recognize that. There have been...
I have the plaque downstairs. I guess I could go get
that's
it.
That's okay. That's what I'm... They give it once a year, and they have different categories.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Right.
Uh-huh. And the categories have changed somewhat over
that's
the years.
Right.
But
I think they now give somebody in high school also gets one, and there's some sort of category. I think I know.
Right.
And that started about in the 70s or something.
Yes, it did. I think I might have been the second or third recipient of
it. Yeah. That's very nice. I know you've got a lot of materials there. Anything special that you'd like to feature about the sports and things? Because you were pretty close to it for a number of years and really got in on the early time. Any comments on that that we could fill in that researchers might benefit by? Maybe how it's changed, sports?
It's changed because it's totally funded today. And it wasn't,
well,
you know.
Well, that's a big change.
Mm-hmm,
you know.
It's a huge change.
And that takes a lot of time to get that up and running.
Right. I have to say Purdue has just done a marvelous job. I think we've had outstanding presidents that have believed in women. And it probably started before they ever thought women were going to be in athletics, but by bringing, you know, outstanding women on staff and on the faculty, people that believe in what they're doing and have a sense of purpose about their life, and I hope history will prove maybe I had a little contribution to make to women's athletics.
Is there any comment or something that you'd like to make that maybe I've forgotten about, or that you'd like to make some review?
Well, I guess the one thing that I remember when I was in college, I was asked to write my philosophy of education. And I really, frankly, had no idea what my philosophy was. But I think I could write one today.
Okay.
And that, you know, my chin, you'll cut this out. Just that, well, I guess I would have to say when, think today I'd have to say that the education that I had served me well and has enabled me to really pursue a lot of interesting endeavors. I've done a lot of different things, and probably beyond the basics of learning to read and write, my education prepared me, my physical education background prepared me to have all the experiences that I've cherished over the years. I think education's ever changing. I don't think it's ever a stagnant thing, and education today has so much to offer anyone that wants to pursue a higher degree. And I think there's so many opportunities for maybe people that perhaps don't want to pursue a college education, but technology, they can go to two-year colleges, community colleges, and I think that's important in every community. And
what about your interaction with students? Have you been teaching? Any comment on that, your interaction with students? That's key to education, students.
Well, I just love teaching. I really did, and the students. I still hear from many of the women that I taught at West Lafayette High School. That was a really great time in my life, and I thought, I have to get the best girls in this high school to get in this program so everybody will want to do it. And you know what's happened to high school athletics, and it's just a matter of evolution. I think that's why we have better athletes, of course, at college level now, because they're getting better training in their secondary education, and they're even starting now very young. You know, there's some junior high, certainly, and opportunities for girls to go to camp, and you know, when they're in the fourth grade, they can start going to camp, the Purdue camp.
See, there's a big change that's taking place.
It has.
You're addressing that.
It has. And I think that, I guess maybe, the best teacher, I think, creates an atmosphere for learning. And whether it's teaching per se, or maybe serving as a role model, I think you have to enable people to learn and to experience an activity such as our women are doing today in athletics. I don't think it's everything, because not everybody wants to be an athlete, nor do they have the skill to be it. But I think a lot of women of my generation enjoy watching younger women and participate. I think they watch them on TV and go to the games. I believe the crowd at women's athletic, the women's basketball especially, is a very gray crowd. I don't think it's young people. I think it's people that maybe were deprived the opportunity to do that, so they're living vicariously through these women.
Have any other comments? Anything that I mentioned that you'd like to refer to, or your notes there?
Well, no, not really. I just have something I want to do very badly, and that's do some writing about women's athletics. Not necessarily who won and who lost, but how great it is to be able to have an opportunity to participate. And I have an outline, and I've talked to your boss, Mullen?
Oh, Dean Mullen.
Dean Mullen.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and he said we have, and his wife, of course, is interested in women's studies. So maybe I'll have an opportunity to pursue that, or maybe I can help teach as a volunteer, help teach a course or something someday when I'm here.
That's good.
Right now, I'm having fun, though. I'm on the board, the foundation board of Morin's Park, and that's where I live, in Naples.
Okay.
I'm on the board of directors.
And what does that involve?
Well, I'm basically on the support committee of that organization, but we have dine between 6:30 and 7, the dining room closes. That you have to be seated by a certain time, but people are very social down there, and they, you know, you have someone in, maybe four or six people, and then you walk to the dining room, and so when they come in for their cocktail, you know, you like to have a little hors d'oeuvre or something. So that's what this is going to be all about, and the date for publishing that is going to be in March, and it's going to be ready for our annual meeting at Maurice Park. So that's what I'm doing now. So I try to keep busy between that and golf and looking after Ed.